And now, entering the ring, Jason Hughes, Dustin Dougie Campbell, and Jason Papaw White, the Triple Threat, here on the Strong Booking Podcast.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Strong Booking Podcast. I just want to give a shout-out to our sponsor, McGuire Insurance Agency. Give them a call at 606-886-0008 for all your insurance needs. I'm going to hand it over to Jason. He's got some news for us.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank everybody for tuning in again this week. I know last week we had a little technical difficulties, but we appreciate everybody that stood fast with us and tuned in last week's episode. But as far as this week's episode goes, we have a special guest with us this evening. We have David Anthony. He wrestled last night at ASW Enforcer Show over in Madison, West Virginia, in an 8-man tag match. That's a promotion ran by Gary Dameron. I know they had, of course, Arn Anderson there. ODB was there last night. And actually a surprise appearance by Buff Bagwell.
Yeah, saw the picture.
Yep, so, I mean, looks like they put on a pretty good show over there tonight. So I'm going to turn it back over to Dustin here and see what we got in store for tonight's episode.
Did you just call me Dustin?
Well, or Dougie.
Big D.
It's okay. Big D. So tonight's episode, basically, I want to start it off talking about the ASW show. I want to ask David a few questions. I mean, he was there last night, so just what's your thoughts on that show? Did it seem to go well, you know? Was everything pretty good?
From the few times I've been in Madison for ASW, that's probably been the largest crowd I've seen them draw. It was a packed house from what I saw. The surprise with Buff Bagwell was pretty cool. I was just sitting in the locker room, and I hear somebody yell, "Anybody got a Sharpie?" And I look around, it was him, and I was, okay. Well, okay, is he here? Is he on the poster? Was he? But that was pretty cool to the people. They really liked that, because when he came out, they popped. So they enjoyed that. From top to bottom, I thought it was a very good event. So.
You know, we follow Gary on, you know, Facebook and stuff, and we really enjoy what he does over there in Madison. And we're hoping to get to a show eventually, you know, maybe the I know he's got the Hall of Fame show coming up, yeah. So we might try to get to that. But we really enjoy what he's doing, and, you know, we've seen you on there. We've seen you on BCW. Yeah. You know, these two guys, I didn't get to make the trip, but they watched you at BCW. And so you know, we kind of seen you around, and we was like, you know, this guy, he looks the part. We want to get him on the show and really pick his brain and stuff. So I'm just going to start out and ask you a few questions, you know, man. Tell everybody where you're from, first of all.
So I'm from a small town called La Follette, Tennessee. For a lot of the people that's in Kentucky that watch this, there's a small town called Williamsburg, Kentucky. And if you go south, across the border to Tennessee, you'll hit Jellicoe, and that's in the same county as La Follette, Campbell County, so that's where I'm from.
Okay, and then you said, you told me that you live in Johnson City now?
So I say Johnson City, but it's about 15 minutes south. It's called Irwin, but basically Johnson City, Tennessee, yes.
Okay, and I know you said you're still in college.
Yes, I am. I go to East Tennessee State University. I'm a sports and recreation major. I went to Roan State Community College and got my associate's degree. So now I'm finishing up at ETSU.
Yeah, and then you're telling me you're a part-time wrestler, plus you also do personal training.
Yes, I work at there's a big gym on campus. It's called the CPA, Center for Physical Activity. So I'm a personal trainer there, and that's one of my main passions, is fitness and wrestling. So
yeah. I know you. We talked a little bit before the show, before we came on the show here, and you were saying that, you know, you actually wrestle for quite a few different independent companies, you know, and seems like you do a whole lot. You said you'd been to Houston, Miami.
So the Houston, I went with a friend who was working for Booker T. Okay. And I rode with him to get that opportunity to go down there and check it out. And Miami was the same thing. I went with a friend who had an opportunity to go down there. This was when I was only a year or two in. So even though I didn't get to wrestle, it was still really fun getting to explore the United States.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I knew. I mean, now you mentioned that. Yeah, Booker T does have that.
Yep.
Independent.
Reality of wrestling.
Yeah, reality of wrestling.
Now, I did wrestle in Berwyn, Illinois twice. That's right. It's a little suburb of Chicago. It's a nice little town. So I've been up there twice.
Okay, that's cool. Well, I just want to ask you, you know, what got you into wrestling? I mean, when did you start watching it and just kind of what really just, like, captured your eyes?
So a lot of the people, and maybe it's just because documentaries that you watch of people we know growing up, they're always like, oh, I used to watch it when I was a five-year-old on the TV. I'd sit in front of the TV. Yeah. For me, it was just, so I have a half-brother, and I only got to see him three times a year maybe, and he was maybe 6 years older than me. So it was 2006, maybe. I was in fifth grade. And he came over and he had a video game. This video game was SmackDown vs. Raw 2006. And he put it in my PlayStation and we started playing it. And I was like, this is really cool. Like all the characters and stuff. I was like, this is awesome. What is this? And he let me borrow it for like a month because I barely get to see him. So yes. I got to borrow it for that long and I started watching it. Because of that game, I was playing the game, and I started liking the characters, and I watched it on TV, and then I liked that even more because that was even better. Yeah, so then I just started watching it on and off. Like at my bedtime, because I was in fifth grade, it was 9 o'clock, so I didn't get to watch a lot of Raw because I think it started at 9. And then I think SmackDown started at like 8. So I got to watch the first hour of SmackDown all the time.
Yeah.
And they do the Raw recap on there, so I was able to check out what they did on Raw.
I think we all grew up playing SmackDown versus Raw from, I started on Nintendo 64 with some other games, but
I started on Pro Wrestling.
Pro Wrestling. He's on the Atari.
He's on the Atari.
Yeah.
Wrestling.
And I liked the character that stood out to me the most was Shawn Michaels on that game. Like, it was just, everything about him was so cool. Like, his music, his whole, the way he carried himself, he just kicked people in the face, and that was it. I was like, wow. Like, he just blew me away with his personality. I loved it.
So I was going to ask you, since you brought up Shawn Michaels, who's kind of some of your inspiration and people you look at and try to build off of, to further yourself in wrestling?
Well, here recently, I have to thank Brian Logan. He has done so much for me. He has, after my first 2 years in the business, I met him, and then he turned me into something even better. He polished me off. He taught me so many things that a lot of people probably wouldn't. So I have to thank him for that. He's the one who really shaped me into what I am. And I also have to thank Tim Horner. He's also a very good guy who's helped me with a few things. And here recently, Bo James in Kingsport has been doing a lot to really help me, and I appreciate everything he's done for me. But in terms of TV personalities that have influenced me, so like I said, it was Shawn Michaels. And then I really took a lock into Cody Rhodes when he was doing the Dashing Cody Rhodes stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I loved that, and I always wondered, like, I wanted more of that on TV, but they didn't really do much with him.
Yeah.
So then when he took off on the independents, I was like, oh, yes, finally he's getting his own little thing.
Yeah.
But and AJ Styles, even. I loved his stuff, but that's just not my – I mean, I'm a fairly athletic guy, but I'm nowhere near some of the crazy things he can do.
Yeah, I mean, he's beyond athletic.
Yeah, he's
phenomenal.
He's a cheat code.
Which, you know, you got that old school feel to you, you know, and like we were talking about earlier, you present yourself with the suit and stuff and look professional.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of remind me of a Cody Rhodes, a Ric Flair type guy, just, somebody that really likes to just get in the ring, grapple, and get down to business.
Yeah, so when I started being around Brian Logan more, he really made me appreciate older wrestling. So I'd go back on the WWE Network and I'd watch it. And Brian Logan has his own channel called Wrestle Rewind that has a lot of really good old wrestling on it that WWE does not own. So if you like old wrestling, you need to check that out. It's Wrestle Rewind. And I'd go on there and I'd watch things. And I was like, wow, this is really cool too. Because wrestling gets a bad stigma. Old school wrestling gets a bad stigma to a lot of people that it's just boring stuff. But no, like if you actually sit and like watch it, it tells like a story, and it's not all great, But the things that are great are really great.
Yeah.
I like Terry Taylor. He's a big inspiration into kind of some of the things I'm doing. Cody Rhodes, like you said. Even Nick Aldis, the way he carries himself. I mean, maybe not in-ring style, but just the way he carries him. He takes himself seriously because he should. Wrestling should be taken seriously. Yeah, I mean, exactly. Yeah, so.
Well, then, you know, we were talking earlier, and you said, you know, a lot of people were even petitioning that you should be like an NWA guy. And, you know, I kind of see that with you, too. I mean, you got the NWA look, really.
Yeah, like, so every now and then, I mean, and it's starting to get more frequent, I'll have a fan come up to me and be like, you should really be on NWA Power. Yeah. And I'm like, really, you think so? He goes, yeah, you really should. And I had a fan message me about a month ago, and he sent me screenshots of where he messaged Kenny Omega on Twitter. I mean, he's like, I don't know if he'll ever read it, but he messaged Kenny Omega, I swear, like a two-paragraph message, talking about how I made him think about his childhood watching WCW and that they need to give me a chance. And I was like, oh, wow. So,
I mean, like, you know, you'll eventually get to that point, I believe. You got the look. You're
still young.
You're still young. You're only, what, 23?
I just turned 23
yeah.
Tuesday.
And that's another thing I wanted to ask you. I mean, the future for you, where could you see yourself in, you know,
and
five or 10 years?
I probably should be more goal-oriented. But I take everything seriously, but I still go with the flow. So as long as I'm able to make a living off of it, off of the business of professional wrestling, yeah. Whether it's MLW like you guys like, or yeah. NWA, or who knows where, like Japan even. I don't. It, yeah. As long as I'm able to make a living doing what I love, I would be happy.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. That's cool. You know, because you see a lot of people like want to shoot for the stars and go straight to, you know, WWE and stuff, but. You know, I kind of like that answer. You know, you just something. You seem like a really passionate guy about it, and you just like, you know, perfecting your art. And it doesn't matter where you're going to wrestle; you just want to wrestle.
Yeah, like I can't watch.
As long as it, you know, like you said, as long as it pays the bills.
Yeah, like I can't really watch. I'll watch all my matches one time.
Really?
Just to see how it looked and everything. But I never just go back and watch my matches because I think I'm too hard on myself.
Yeah.
So I'll see something, I'll be like, that's. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Like I could have done this differently.
Yeah.
But that's also a good sign because and everybody knows this, you're your worst critic. And that's probably to whatever you think you're passionate about, you're your worst critic about it. You're your worst critic.
Yeah.
But my friend in high school, his name was Ethan Jeffers. He was our high school quarterback. And the newspaper did a thing on him. And he had a quote that I don't know if he came up with it or if he stole it from somewhere, but his thing was, if people don't laugh at your goals aren't high enough. And that really stuck with me. So.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's a really good quote, yeah. Honestly. Because most time, you know, when people do set really high goals for stuff, everybody else is like, oh,
yeah, that'll never happen.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
So I do like that. You know, you're an independent wrestler. You know, you wrestle a lot of independent shows, and sometimes, you know, you might go to a show and not even know who you're wrestling.
Yeah,
at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So, does that make it difficult to, like, you know, have good chemistry in the ring with guys at times? Or
my goal in the ring is to be the easiest. Like, I want everybody to love me being in the ring,
yeah.
Whether it be the wrestlers, the fans. Even the referees, I want everybody to love me being in the ring because I make everything easy, but I still entertain everybody. Okay. So
you want to make it easier for the guy you're working with, you know, you want to make it easy on him, plus put on a good show.
Yeah, because that's memorable, because people have so much stress going on that if one thing in their life is like a breeze, they remember that.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, that shows you back to your skill set, too, though. I mean, like, if you can make it easier on somebody else,
yeah.
You know, that shows how much you've dedicated to it and,
and
you know, how much effort you're putting into something. You're not just going in there half, you know, at it, but you're going in there to put on a good product for whoever's watching at
or
the
people,
time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just,
or people do too much with somebody that they're not even 100% sure if they can do that.
Yeah.
Like, So there's that.
Be like, you know, you try and go in there and
I cannot do
power a bomb somebody that's twice your size or something.
I cannot do a backflip. Cannot do a backflip. Okay. We'll never probably be able to do a backflip. So I don't try to do a backflip. Like,
that's smart. I mean,
like, I know that I'm not going to just because it, like, I don't care if it was on TV and somebody told me, hey, you have to be able to do this, mm-hmm. this backflip. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to hurt myself. I'm going to hurt myself or somebody. I'm not going to do that. I shouldn't have, like.
If you look at certain guys, especially the guys, you know, that've made it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like your Ric Flairs or your Stone Colds and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not all those guys, you know, done the backflips.
No, if you think
they all had a specific set of skills mm-hmm. they done and it worked.
Exactly. The one, like everybody's in, like those guys are entertaining, but if you really truly sit and think about it, the ones that stick with you deep in your mind are the ones that tell stories.
Yep.
Like mm-hmm. when you watch AEW, like we was talking about, that one of the first events they had. The whole card was like, okay, this is wrestling. This is indie wrestling. But then you got to Cody versus Dustin. And you were like, I don't even think there was a flip in that match. Mm-hmm. And then but when you watched it, you like had chills. You were like, oh, this is wrestling. This is great.
Yeah. That's you know, Papaw says it all the time, you know. wrestling tells a story, and that's what you enjoy the most.
That's what I like, the psychology, yeah.
You know, it don't matter if it's a 30-minute match or an hour-long match. It tells a story, then you know we're sold.
Even 10 seconds tells a story.
Yeah, you know like 10-minute match could tell a story.
Exactly. Yeah.
Brock and Kofi told a story, didn't he?
Huh?
Brock and Kofi told a story.
Even that, yeah exactly, exactly.
Brock's up here and Kofi was down here.
Yeah, exactly. He was letting
you know.
I'm
just letting you know.
Yeah.
That's the thing about, you know, you mentioned New Japan. You know, New Japan, that's like their big key is every match tells a story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
and for people who don't watch it, they just think it's a lot of bing bang bing bang.
Yeah,
you know? But it's not. No, it's actually it's pretty good.
You know, yeah. Like, AEW just had the pay-per-view Revolution. Best match on the card to me was the tag match. You know, the Bucks, Hangman, and Omega, and that match, there was a story throughout the whole thing.
Yeah,
like it never stopped.
Yeah, and that story, and then this is something people get confused with. You're telling a story. A lot of people are like, oh, I'm telling a story. But your story needs to be able to correlate with who's watching it. So New Japan, that fan base, knows everything. They know what's going on, you know. So there, you can kind of tell a college-level thesis, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying down on other places, but I'm just saying you have to know. So college-level thesis for the crowd that's so immune to everything already because they've seen everything. But then some people just want to read like a little, Dick and Jane story where it's just real easy. The words are right there.
Yep.
So
you're saying you got to be able to like
adjust.
And be in the, like,
everybody wants something. Yeah. Every region likes a little bit of something.
That might be the best I've ever heard it described.
Dude,
yeah.
This guy's that's got the truth. You got to run for the business. I'm going to tell you that.
Yeah, that's the best I've heard it described.
I don't know, like, where do you get all this knowledge from, like, from wrestling?
I
mentioned, like, Brian Logan.
Yeah, Brian Logan.
Really.
But when it comes to, like, learning how to, I don't know, I've just always, I'm a pretty introverted guy.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not very social. I mean, it's not because I hate people, I'm kind of socially awkward sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Because I can't communicate with people sometimes. So I just, when I was growing up, I had a half brother I'd see every now and then. But I was just in my room. I was raised by my grandparents, so I didn't really go and play a lot or anything. I just sat in my room and watched like Discovery Channel and read like fact books, and I just read things. And I don't know, that's maybe just how I'm able to word things. I can't right now, but to word things in a better way.
Yeah.
Is through that. And then when it comes to wrestling, I don't go to bed sometimes till like 3 a.m., and I wake up like at 7. Yeah. So I don't go to bed till like 3 a.m. just because I'm on my phone. Like sometimes the sheet's over my head. I'm just like sitting here scrolling, reading things. And I'll see like an old article, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. How'd that react? Like, yeah, pretty
so
much
you really, you're, I mean, outside of the training part and just, you know, doing the wrestling, you're really digging deep into this. And
yeah, and like
I can tell you really understand the psychology of wrestling.
Now, I'm not saying I know everything, but it's never going to happen, but I want to know everything.
Yeah, exactly.
It's never going to happen, but, and that's anybody. Yeah. It's never going to happen, but I want to know everything. And I want to learn. And like we say in the training aspect, a lot of people don't take themselves seriously. I'm not saying you have to be jacked. Because a lot of people think, when people do the body discussion, people think you have to be jacked. No, you just have to look athletic.
Yeah.
Because this sounds bad. We're on a pedestal. People look up to people, you know?
Yeah.
So.
You're right, though.
I'm not saying, but you just have to be memorable in terms of they need to remember you as a memory in their head that they can look back to when they're older that brings happiness, you know?
Yep.
So, things like that.
Well, that's a big thing, you know, when I was a kid and watching wrestling, there's those guys, you know, the Stings in the world, and, mm-hmm. you know, the Undertakers, the Goldberg, even Goldberg, mm-hmm. you know, even like I've told these guys they're not big fans of him, but like Vampiro I was a big fan of Vampiro mm-hmm. when I was a kid, so, you know, seeing his stuff, you know, makes me happy now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think in like the way he was talking about the way you look, athletic build or what it, nowadays it's a lot, you see that more across the board. You don't see those guys that are what I used to call the WWE mode. You had to be 6'4", 260.
Yeah.
Now it's like wrestling's more like they've kind of toned it down. You got that athletic, being able to move around,
yeah.
do some stuff in the ring, put yeah. on. Because those big guys like that, they get gassed out real quick, and then you're just kind of left wondering, you know, short. But now you can tell, like you said, be able to tell a story,
mm-hmm.
put on a 30-minute match, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got something to come back to if, you know, when the match is over, you know.
You had a good theory about this earlier. I mean, you kind of talked about that, how there's not that many big guys. There's more small guys. You're saying a lot of the bigger guys.
Because a lot of the older people are like, they need to be big, giant. Yeah. Guys, right? But wrestling, yes, there's money in it, but it's not like territories where there was money everywhere in it. You know, if you went to those places, there was money in it. So now it's not as popular to everybody in the world. Like the percentage of hardcore wrestling fans is lower than it used to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those big, massive guys would probably go do something else with their size. Like mm-hmm. we were talking about powerlifting or Olympic events and things like that.
Well, even, you know, in today's times, there's so many sponsorships for different things. You probably make more money powerlifting today than you did probably 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah, because that powerlifting was like, it was a thing, but it's starting to escalate.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, the styles and the with the body types, there's so many different styles in wrestling, right? So if you think about this, every sport is a different style, okay? Soccer. Soccer players have really good cardio, massive legs. Baseball players, huge forearms. They're shorter people. You know, they're usually a little shorter. Massive forearms, good grip strength. Rock climbers, good grip strength.
Mm-hmm.
So each style is like a different thing, so you have to be accustomed to your style.
Yeah.
So, and that's why the cruiserweights are able to do so much stuff, because they're more compact, obviously, and they're just in better cardio shape than a lot of people.
You know, your smaller guys are gonna, I think your smaller guys are gonna put on better matches than your bigger guys. That's just, you know, that's me.
And yeah, I mean, they do a lot of the time.
I've never, like, honestly seen two big guys put on a 5-star match. Have you?
It's not as common today, but you used to be able to, you know?
Yeah.
Because people were more smart with how to tell the stories correctly, but. Yeah, 100%.
You don't even see a rest hold no more.
And
it's just, psychology is a lot less than it used to be. To me, it seems like it's more flips now than it used to be.
Yeah.
If we talk about that, the rest holds and stuff, we actually got to see that in the 30-minute Ironman match between Omega and Pac. You know, they did some resting holds, submission holds. That's something like you don't see a lot of submission finishes anymore. No. They'll lock one in for a little bit.
Because a lot of people don't know how to build up to it where it gets that massive pop.
Yeah.
You know, where it really gets the reaction on submission finishes.
So if it boils down to it, you could almost say that, like, a lot of people are forgetting about the psychology of wrestling.
Well, I'm pretty sure you couldn't even win by submission for the first little while in wrestling. It had to be pinfall.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're probably
so
right.
So your holds were just to wear people down and to move people around in the pinfalls. So I don't even know. I'm not sure. I'm not a historian on it, but I'm not sure when it became a thing where you could submit. So, but that just became a thing. I'm pretty sure. Like one day, it just became a thing.
That'd be a question for Papaw here.
I know. Bo James would probably know because he knows a lot of that stuff. Yeah. But
that makes sense, though. You know. I want to talk a little bit about AEW, this week, and about the Blood and Guts coming up, because I know they announced the match. It's going to be the Elite versus the Inner Circle. So, and that's the war. It's going to be a War Games match.
Okay.
So, double cage.
And but they're calling it Blood and Guts because I guess WWE has the rights.
War Games rights, probably.
So, but they finally announced that match. Said they announced the rules Sunday. So, what's your guys' thoughts on that? You think the Elite versus the Inner Circle?
Yeah, that's what I figured was going to be.
We kind of touched on it last week.
It had to be unless it was going to Dark Order. So
yeah,
I'm good with it.
I think it'll be good. I'd see all of them back together again, Cody with all of them again, because Cody's kind of been separate from the other ones here lately, so now they're all going to be back together.
It's going to be a 5-on-5?
5-on-5.
So we're going to get the Bucks, Cody,
Omega, and Hangman.
It'll be a good time for Omega and Hangman to, for all that to come to a head.
Yeah, it could be.
I like the slow burn they got.
I know Hangman, he's got a full head of steam right now. Mm-hmm. The fans are really behind him, so I feel like it's coming. The turn. They could turn him, though. Wouldn't that be crazy? Because, I wonder if the fans are cheering or if they're doing.
Who?
Hangman.
Oh, Hangman's over.
That's what I'm saying. It don't matter. I don't see how you can turn him now.
He's good.
Turn him heel. So, I want to ask you this question.
Okay.
Yeah, do you know Orange Cassidy?
Yeah.
Have you seen his matches?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on him?
Well, I've not seen any of his matches. I think I've watched one before he was doing that whole gimmick. I mean, wasn't he in Chikara? Is that how he got started, really? Got noticed?
I'm pretty sure
he was in Chikara as something else.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the whole thing where he, does the kicks? It's not as embarrassing, or it's not as goofy as the Joey Ryan thing. We'll go ahead and establish that right there. It's not as.
I'm not a fan of that at all.
It's the only time I've seen him do it is he'll do it right, and they just sit there and kind of look at him like, mm-hmm. "Are you serious? What are you doing?" And then they either deck him or he does the thing where he ducks it.
Yeah.
And I guess if they were actually going along with it and being like, ow, ow, ow. Like, that makes sense. But I think I kind of get what he's trying to do with that. And for some reason, the people there are loving it. So.
Yeah. More power to it.
It's apparent. Like, I think if you ask people that, religiously watch AEW who their favorite wrestler was, a large proportion would say Orange Cassidy.
Oh, he's on top of the world, right?
Everybody's
in love with him.
I love it, and I don't know why.
He had the match against Pac.
I think I've seen clips from that.
And the dude can wrestle.
I've seen clips. I've seen the clip where Pac would climb up and he'd roll.
Yeah.
And then he'd climb back up and he'd roll.
Yeah.
But I watched that, and I was like, I think I've seen you remember when Tyler Breeze did that?
Yeah.
You remember when Tyler Breeze would do that? Yeah. And I saw that, and he just kind of took it one step farther with that.
Tyler Breeze, wow.
Hey, that's a name. I liked Tyler Breeze when he was in NXT.
I liked Fandango too.
I was gonna say I liked Fandango. Yeah.
They both were good wrestlers.
They're kind of semi back together now.
What was Fandango's? Remember when he did the Tough Enough or not Tough Enough? Was it Tough Enough? Or NXT, the old NXT, and his name was Johnny Curtis.
Johnny Curtis, yeah. That's what he was first.
Yeah, I remember that.
Even Chris Jericho went on the record to say that, he believed in Fandango. He put him over at WrestleMania.
I actually liked that match.
So he wanted to.
I love that match.
He was great.
He was trying to get him over because he liked
the
him.
The other one WWE let fall.
Yeah.
I
about forgot that, to be honest.
I really like that for some reason. Tyler Breeze, I really liked his match with Jushin Thunder Liger. Do you remember that one?
I don't remember that.
I don't think I've seen that one, to be honest.
It was one of the takeovers.
Yeah, it was a...
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I think it was the takeover right before he got called up.
I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah. I liked that. That was pretty good.
It was the takeover right before he got called up. But, you still watch a lot of the WWE's product right now? Or? I know you told me, you know, you like to watch the network and go on there and watch a lot of the old school territorial stuff.
Yeah, I've not watched a lot of, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. It probably 4 months, 5 months, I've not watched any WWE or AEW.
Well, that's understandable.
I just haven't. I don't know. Like, I don't even have an excuse for why I've not watched. I just haven't. But I've been watching a lot of, like I said, I was going through the territories and I started watching World Class from the very first, like the oldest ones you can get on there. I just started watching those through, so I've been watching those here recently. But
World Class,
yeah.
You like the Von Erichs?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even matter if I like them; they were over.
No other way.
Like
their matches with the Fabulous Freebirds were great.
I liked Kevin Von Erich versus the Great Kabuki,
mm-hmm.
Like in 82, maybe 82, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was 82. It was when Gary Hart was with Kabuki.
Yeah. The Hart family, yeah, I remember Gary Hart.
You know, I think it's pretty cool Kabuki, that you take the time to like, really go back and get on the network and watch those old matches. It seems like you're really, you really like the old school stuff and you really want to learn from it more than you do this new style.
Yeah, well, everybody tries to be so different. Like, let's say we'll insert something old here. So this is A. This is something old.
Yeah.
You ask to do, like, guys are like, oh, everybody does this. We're not going to do this. We're going to do this. Everybody does this. So then everybody starts doing this because they think everybody's doing this.
Yeah, exactly.
But now nobody's doing this, so if I do this, now I'm the different one.
That's
smart.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I don't know. And to me, that's the route I took. So.
And it needs to be believable, in my opinion. Wrestling needs to be believable.
Yeah, and he had a good point earlier. Me and him were talking, and he said that WWE's almost got to the point where they just want to make a TV show that has a little bit of wrestling in it.
Yeah,
it's they're trying to distract you from the fact that it's wrestling.
Yeah.
They want it to be as far from wrestling as they can.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even call it wrestling.
No.
So
yeah. They don't even know.
It's entertainment now.
It's a slightly violent soap opera.
And
because we're talking about Chad Gable.
Yeah, I loved him. I love those guys. I love the shooter guys. Like, they can really grapple and stuff like that. Yeah. It's just so fun to me to watch. Because I even watch some MMA. I do I do judo, right?
Okay.
So, and I watch some MMA, and I'm watching it. And even people in MMA, when they go to the ground and they're doing stuff, everybody's like, oh, this is boring. I'm like, I love this. This is awesome. Like, even in MMA, I love
it. To be an MMA fan, you got to... You should really enjoy that stuff.
Yeah, because not everything's going to be the stand-up throwing, knocking each other out. Like, 100%.
In a real fight, it always goes to a lockup. I mean, unless you knock somebody out quick.
Yeah. I guess there was an MMA fight last night.
Yeah, there was.
I didn't even know. I wasn't home. So.
Yeah, he was busy.
You were busy.
The women's fight was great.
I seen a picture of that one.
Was that the Joanna?
Mm-hmm.
That Joanna, I can't pronounce her last name, but
Jinder
or something.
Didn't
even
look scary.
I saw
it. It was like turn. I don't know, man.
She was unstoppable for a while.
Yeah, she had a big knot on her forehead.
She looked like an alien, to be honest.
Yeah, she was on top of the world undefeated for a while, and I don't know, but she was underrated too. Because I think during her whole run was Rousey was doing her stuff, so they everybody was paying attention to Ronda more than they was Joanna.
Yeah, I did see Sean O'Malley wrestle last night. Or fought in MMA.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He was a pretty big name like 2 years ago, and he kind of like I guess he got in trouble for something. I don't really know. But
I don't know.
I don't know either. But he looked good last night. He's awesome. Look, if you go check the match out, if you didn't get. Chance to or the fight. It's not really a match. But we're 30 minutes into the show now, guys. I just want to give a shout out to our sponsor, McGuire Insurance AHC. Give them a call at 606-886-0008 for all your insurance needs. And since we're 30 minutes into the show, we're going to start our Pillar to Post segment. And it's kind of the idea I came up with for this week, and I'm going to go ahead and ask David this, since, you know, he's our special guest. I wanted to talk about dream matches. So what's one dream match for you that you could have?
Oh, man, put me on the spot.
I did put you on the spot.
Put me on the spot. So everybody make – this is just the first one that came to me for some reason, but everybody makes the comparison that Dolph Ziggler is like today's Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
So that'd be good. Shawn Michaels and Dolph Ziggler would be all right.
Yeah.
That would actually be really good.
I want to know who you would want to wrestle. If you could wrestle anybody from the 80s, 90s.
If I could wrestle anybody?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Probably Ric Flair. Because, like, everybody got, like, that was anybody, got to be with Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Chopped one time by Flair.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You must get chopped one time by Flair. What would be your dream match, Jason?
Like him versus somebody?
No.
Yeah, me versus.
We can do that. We can.
Yeah. Okay.
So who would you want to take on?
Yeah, there you go. Who would you want to take on? Let's just do that.
I'd want to wrestle AJ Styles. I know he'd run circles around me, but I'm just saying. That's like one. I mean, that's like one of my all-time favorites. So I mean, I know he'd run circles around me, but just to say I was in the ring with him.
Do you like his? Any, do you start watching him at Impact? Did you start watching him at Impact?
Yeah, well, actually, I saw him in.
Do you want to pick somebody?
I saw him in some independent stuff before that, ROH and stuff, and then Impact. No, but I am a big TNA fan, and
yeah, that's the first place I saw him. There's a match on YouTube, and you guys have probably saw it. It's AJ Styles and Abyss in like a cage match.
Yep,
and AJ Styles springboards off the guardrail, like the fan guardrail.
Yep.
Somehow he springboards off the guardrail, and I don't know. I just thought that he's crazy athletic. Like we was talking about, he's beyond athletic.
Yeah,
so.
He's beyond athletic. Thing is, like, dude didn't even like. He was never a big wrestling fan.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
he just decided that he knew he was athletic. He could make money at it.
Yeah, see, it was just him. He
had for himself.
It worked out.
I think he said he was in, he like was in college at the time or something, and he had kids, and he needed to find a way to so.
Who are you going to wrestle there, Papaw?
Who am I?
Yep, you're going to pick somebody.
Brock.
Yeah, see?
Because he'll get a payday.
I'm going to win for my 4 seconds and cash my check.
That's smart move. Fucking Dougie say Goldberg.
He had the most business-oriented answer. I love that.
I'm going to wrestle Cactus Jack.
Oh,
in a normal
hardcore match.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I want to go through some thumbtacks. No, like just a dream match I would want to see would be AJ and Shawn Michaels for me.
You remember when they had that fake poster made of it? Did you ever see that fake poster that was being shared? That was awesome. Like it made me want to see that so bad.
I think there's a lot of like people I'd like to see face AJ Styles.
Yeah, you could put him with anybody.
You could put him with anybody.
Anybody.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to put him with Taker this year at Mania.
It's still I'm excited. Yeah.
It's phenomenal versus Phenom.
Mikey said he's amazed that you didn't pick Tessa.
Right. I'm not much on that intergender wrestling.
Yeah, you're right. What do you think about that, her being Impact Champion?
I didn't watch. I've not watched any of it. So
yeah,
but
I mean, I haven't either.
I didn't really watch the match at all. I don't know. I just really keep up with it, so I can't. I'm not gonna throw out an opinion on that.
Fair enough.
But I've met Tessa once.
You met Tessa.
It was in Sevierville for a KFW, and she was really nice to me. I know a lot of people have been saying she's not very nice. Here recently, but I thought she was extremely nice to me.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I have to say about her is I have a good opinion on her. I don't have
the only thing I got to say about, you know, people saying she's not so nice right now. I think a lot of people say stuff just because she's where she's at.
That's anything you do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything you do. You know, people.
That's even in high school. Like if you are doing like you know.
Yeah. If you're doing something cool in high school, people want.
People will talk bad about you. That's just how life goes.
You're exactly right.
Are we still doing the dream match?
Why,
look who I pick.
Bring it on.
Who would you put two and two together? Not you versus somebody, but together. Oh, you already did.
Shawn Michaels and Dolph.
All right, well, I'm going to say, let's say Kenny Omega and AJ Styles.
Yeah.
And I know that's one a lot of people want to see, and I know Kenny and AJ want to do it too. But
has that
just
never
not
happened?
No. It's never happened.
They left the same gym. You know,
that's never happened.
Nope. Kenny kicked.
One was leaving when the other was coming in.
Yep. Kind of like Finn Balor and, you know, AJ. I'd like to see that one too.
Yeah. Finn Balor is a guy that can, I love watching with anybody.
Anybody can watch Finn.
Mikey said he'd like to wrestle MJF.
That's a random one, Mike.
He'd flip your kids off, Mike.
We didn't ask Kevin. Kevin, who you want to wrestle?
Kevin, producer Kevin, who would you want to wrestle?
Braun.
Braun Strowman. Okay. He's going to get these hands.
You're going to get them hands, aren't you?
Get them hands.
But I think is yours, like, motivated by the same as his, like, the paycheck? Just go ahead and get in there and get squashed and get a paycheck? Or is yours just you just want to be in there with Brock?
Seems like it'd be a good match.
Okay, I like it. Yeah, okay.
Seems like it'd be a good
match. I believe I got him, he said.
I like the tag.
He's going to keep us under the ring. We're going to come in and attack him. Yeah. Strong booking posse coming in.
That's great. What, do you have any dream match of, like, actual wrestlers?
Oh, I don't know.
I'd like to see.
Kenny versus about anybody.
That's true.
They're just people that you can plug with anybody. There's so many people that you can plug with anybody.
Okada versus anybody.
Yeah. I'd like to see you ever watch Okada again.
I love Okada's stuff. I've watched. Yeah. Oh, here's somebody that I've not seen doing. And maybe he has. I'm just not. Maybe I'm out of the loop on this. But Zack Sabre Jr., right? Has he been doing some stuff here lately?
He's still in the news as far as I know. But
he's just not been making, like, big news here
recently. He might do some stuff over in England or somewhere over there. I don't know.
I love his stuff. Like, he's like a modern-day Johnny Saint.
Yeah.
Like, he carries all that perfectly.
There's another one over there, too, that's real good. Will Ospreay.
Yeah, Will Ospreay's pretty good. He's coming. When he first started, I was like, okay, he's just trying to do flips and stuff, but he's actually turning into something very good.
You know, I thought the same thing. Honestly, I didn't really, like, care for him much when I first seen him, because it was just all the flippy floppies. But his last few matches,
he's starting to get very good.
Yeah, and then another guy I like over in New Japan is that Jay White. I really would like to see him.
Yeah,
over here sometime.
I saw him before I stopped watching Japan, New Japan. I saw him and I was like, oh, I like him. He'll probably end up doing something. Now
he's some kind of champ over
there. He's like the biggest thing, one of the biggest things over there now.
He
got
20 belts, so I don't know which champ he is, but he's a champ or something.
He's a champ,
yeah. I'd say Elite Omega and the Bucks versus Hangman Page and Beer Money. That might be a bad match.
Who said this?
Mikey. Ricochet versus Chris Sabin.
Ricochet's booking, ain't he?
I'm gonna take Hangman and Beer Money in that match.
That's right. That's my boys right there.
Producer Kevin said he'd like to see Lashley versus Lesnar, which I think I read something that's a possibility is gonna happen here soon. So after Mania, it's gonna happen. Yeah.
Should have already happened. Lashley. I mean, I like Lashley.
Yeah.
I mean, Lashley's all right. They kind of brought him in WWE to be the next thing to go up against Brock, and then something went terribly wrong.
It always does.
He ended up.
I remember Bobby Lashley before he left, like 2009, 2008.
Yeah, 2008. Watching around that time.
So. And I remember him, and I was like, this. He did the big thing with Umaga and Donald Trump, and
he done the big.
Great president.
That's another guy. Umaga, he was a pretty good wrestler back in his day.
Doesn't he have like a nephew or something now? On MLW?
He's champion, man. Just watched a match of his before we came here.
Oh, really?
Is he does this thing where he jumps on the middle rope to the top rope and does a moonsault.
Oh, okay. Kind of like Christopher Daniels does?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
but he's 260. He's like
really good.
He's a big old fella.
It's not
doing that.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be.
But it's
doing
so
that,
like, man. Smooth and athletic. It's like crazy. It's just like effortless for him to do it.
He done it twice again. I'm like,
man.
He does a standing one in the ring too. I mean, it's
that's
one.
Like Jeff Cobb.
Yeah.
First time I saw him was when Lucha Underground was like a thing, right? Like the second year in. And they did, I don't know what it's called. I'm not going to try to make it up and get like called out for not knowing it. But they did like a Royal Rumble type match, but it wasn't like you could pin people.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
I don't know what it's called.
I can't remember what it was either.
And they debuted him as Matanza.
Didn't Rey Mysterio win that?
No, Jeff Cobb.
Oh, okay.
Because Jeff Cobb came out as this guy called Matanza. And I didn't know who Jeff Cobb was. You remember?
Yeah.
And he was there, this big dude doing all of his stuff, doing moonsaults. And,
did he have the black suit on?
He wore like a boiler suit.
That's what I'm saying. It was like a one piece.
Yeah, like a boiler suit and a mask. Yeah. And he was doing shooting star press headbutts.
Yeah.
And I was like, this guy.
To be honest, I didn't realize it was Jeff Cobb.
No, what? Okay, so I showed my friend that. And he was like, that was Jeff Cobb?
Yeah, because I know exactly who you're talking about now.
It's one of those things, you don't connect it, but then when you know it, you start seeing how it's one of those things.
It's like, I watched Prince Puma there for the longest time.
Didn't know that was Ricochet.
And they had no idea it was Ricochet.
They alone he's from Kentucky at the time.
Yeah, and then I found out it was Mr. Kentucky. I was
like, wow. It was just like finding out Chuck Taylor and AEW, he's from around the same place, I'm pretty sure.
Which they always say, or he calls himself Kentucky Gentleman.
Yeah, it's on the back.
Well, we've done all the dream matches I guess we could do for today. Looks like we've been on for 46 minutes now. Is there anything else you want to talk about, David?
Let's see. This, when you said dream matches, this just randomly came to my head. You guys like Tyler Bate?
Yeah.
Tyler Bate.
Mm-hmm.
He's another guy I feel like he could plug with anybody. So Tyler Bate with anybody would be really good. I know his match. I did watch his match with Walter, for the Takeover UK.
Yeah.
That big 30-minute or 40-minute. I don't even know how long it was, but that was very good. Have you guys seen that?
I've not seen that one.
It was it's Tyler Bate versus Walter, and it's just a really good match. You guys need to check that out.
Have you watched any of Keith Lee's stuff?
I watched a lot of his stuff before WWE.
Really?
And it was even really. I watched him versus Donovan Dijak. Now he's on NXT as Dijakovic or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Those two mesh really well. They have good matches.
Well, they've had like already two matches in NXT. So and now you said they had a match outside of NXT.
Yeah, it was PWG. PWG. They had a match. Mm-hmm.
I really like him though. Velveteen Dream. I really like Velveteen Dream.
Oh yeah.
He's next superstar.
He's great.
Our buddy Mike agrees with you. What you were just talking about, he said that Shawn Michaels is doing amazing things with the NXT UK.
So is Shawn Michaels over at NXT UK?
Yeah. He's the new Triple H gave that to him.
Yeah.
they have a lot of really good set of guys helping out with NXT UK. Yeah. Johnny Saint, Shawn Michaels. They pretty much have so many people now that they can just split everybody up and it still be an A-team.
I've seen they're pushing now Finn Balor versus Walter is going to be happening. Yeah, he invaded their show, I think, like one of their shows last night. Finn Balor did. Beat somebody over there.
They signed a month ago, Timothy Thatcher.
Yep.
And he's really, have you guys watched Timothy Thatcher?
He
would like Timothy Thatcher.
When they signed him, I went back because I knew they signed him and Killer Cross at the same time. Mm-hmm. I went back and watched some Timothy Thatcher, Drew McIntyre matches they had over in England.
Okay.
Yeah.
Timothy Thatcher is just a guy, so for you who know him, he's just a guy who's like, I don't know how old he is, but he looks like 45, right? But he's jacked. He's in real good shape. And he's just tough. He's just tough and breaks people's arms and stretches people. Like, he's just a tough guy.
A lot of those, a lot of the wrestling over there in England is just a lot of stiff, tough wrestling.
Like, joint manipulation.
Yeah,
you see that when Pete Dunne wrestles, with twisting the hands and the fingers.
And it's been like that for a while. Like, if you go back and watch the World of Sport style, like whatever's rounds, like Jim Breaks and stuff. Jim Breaks is great. Johnny Saint is great. When they do that, they'd have matches. Even Fit Finlay was doing that kind of that stuff back then. There's a match on YouTube. It's Johnny Saint and Fit Finley, I think. Or it's Jim Breaks and Fit Finley. I don't know. It'd probably be Johnny Saint. But it's really good. It's really good. This is like, you can see Fit Finley with like a curly mullet.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good.
I'll check some of this stuff out. Yep. Seems like you really like just dug deep and watch your
vlog. It's just my recommended on you. If I open my YouTube, my recommended list will just be stuff like that, just random stuff. Yes, and if something appeals to me, I click it. I'm like, okay.
Of course.
So.
That's fair enough right there. But have you watched a lot of Pete Dunne too?
I like Pete Dunne.
You like Pete Dunne?
I like him.
Seems like somebody would be down your alley.
Yeah, I like Pete Dunne. What's the other guy? Trent Seven. He doesn't. They didn't have like a little singles push with him like they did Pete Dunne and Tyler Bates, so he didn't really stand out a lot to me. But but when I watch him in tag matches, he's pretty good. Like all that whole little group is really good.
Yeah. What about Matt Riddle?
I've not watched a lot of his stuff. I know a lot of people love him, and then a lot of people hate him.
Yeah. I think a lot of people hate him because seems like he's got a little bit of a mouth too.
I don't know. See, I've just never. Yeah. And I see, and if I've never met the person, I'm not gonna, you know, like.
He's a good wrestler, though.
He was in UFC. I mean,
yeah,
he's another one of those guys who can get on the mat.
I wonder if we're gonna start seeing a lot of that transition, like UFC people transition to wrestling. Once their careers like kind of get towards the end.
I think it only really happens with WWE because the money transfers about the same.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to go from like, well, I don't know. You know Stephen Bonner, the UFC Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
He does a lot of independent stuff.
Well, you got Tom Lawyer. You know, he's in MLW.
Yeah. Right now, so, but for the most part, I think it's going to be WWE because WWE is all about world-class athletes, signing those world-class athletes. Yeah. So
big names.
Yeah. Thing is though, Matt Riddle, like, I don't know how I watched UFC but not a whole lot of it, so I don't know how good he actually was.
I haven't watched many of his UFC matches. So
I mean you watched UFC, was Matt Riddle any good or?
Yeah, I mean he wasn't, you know,
like I would imagine anybody that's
but
in
he was there.
UFC,
you know, he's there. Yeah. Pretty good or
he earned his way there. He didn't go to UFC with the name CM Punk. He went there. He worked his way up to it.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, he transitioned over, and he's a really good wrestler. Mm-hmm. You know, I could see him bringing in, like, like Ronda. You know, they brought her over.
Yeah.
She turned out to be a decent wrestler. She's done all right.
Oh, she was great.
She's just a great athlete.
She knew
what
she was doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see him bringing over people like Tyson Fury, like,
just well, Brock
for
went
a
back
paycheck.
And forth. I mean,
well, yeah, Brock went back and forth. But.
Yeah, Tyson Fury, he come for the money.
Yeah, I know.
So
they're all coming for them.
A lot of people don't know. So you know how Ronda loves Roddy Piper?
Yeah.
Right. You know Gene LaBelle, Judo Gene, mm-hmm. trained Ronda and Roddy Piper, right?
Really?
Like a little bit. Because Judo Gene, Ronda is a judo Olympian.
Yeah.
And her mom was a judo Olympian. So they have that connection through Gene LaBelle.
That's cool.
Yeah, so a lot of people don't know that they have that connection through him.
Yeah.
I think Gene LaBelle's still alive. I'm pretty sure he's still alive. He has been around for a long time in terms of martial arts and combat sports. So he's a big influence on a lot of people. So
I knew she had, you know, the jacket that she wears.
Yeah.
Of course, some Popper, too. So I knew that. But that's pretty cool that they trained with the same person.
Yeah, they
so Roddy trained judo?
No, I'm not sure the whole story on it, but I do know that they both have a connection through Gene LaBelle. Mm. Some yeah.
That's neat, man. Learn something new every day. Well guys, we're getting down to the last 5 minutes. I'm gonna see if the fans got any questions for David here as we wind it down. You guys got any more questions?
Be gentle.
Got any questions for him?
Yeah, I think I've got one. I was going to ask him earlier. What was like when you go back to all your matches, which one stands out like as one of your favorites so far since you've been?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
Since you've been wrestling.
Wow. For some reason, I still like. So I got to have a match at WrestleCade last year, and I loved that one. And that stands out to me. But for some reason, anytime I think of a match that I really liked, I was in a tag team match with it. I wasn't in a tag team, but it was me and a guy named Tyson Dean versus John Schuyler. You guys might know who John Schuyler is. He does a lot of stuff. And Tom Pritchard. And getting to work and have a match with Tom Pritchard was just really fun for me. And it was it wasn't like a long 30-minute match or anything, but it still stands out in my mind.
Yeah.
Because that was really cool to me that I got to be in the ring with him. So.
That's cool. What was your question?
I was just, we were talking earlier and about the pump pedal slam you did.
Oh, yeah.
What made you quit using that? You said you hadn't used it in a couple of years, and man, I liked it.
I don't know.
It was so smooth.
I can't remember the first time I do remember the first time I did it. Like, so I work out a lot and stuff, but I'm not like a power lifter, you know, so I don't think of myself as super strong. But I was having a match with this guy, and I was like, hey, you get me, and I'll crawl through your legs, and I'll get you for a pump handle. But I don't know if I can pick you up. He goes, you can pick me up. And I did. And I was like, well, maybe I can start picking up heavier people. And I think the heaviest person, because it's not just like picking somebody up. Like, you're picking them up by their arm, like a half Nelson. And the heaviest person I got, I think, was like 250. And I was like, but now that you said that, I'll have to start trying to do that again, because it's simple. So it doesn't
build confidence with you.
Yeah.
I liked it because it started as a rest hold, and then it looks realistic looking. You worked your way through the legs, into the pump pedal slam. It had everything. I mean, it was a good little, you know.
Yeah, and then I go right back to selling that arm, because I had, yeah, exactly, yeah.
So is that like your big thing? You like to sell, you know, a body part?
I mean, it's not just a certain body part or anything. It's just they have to care about you, so they have to have sympathy for you.
Yeah.
So if they care about you, then when you finally start getting back on the heel, they'll really react. They love it, because you're like, oh, he's finally getting his. So you have to, because if you're just laying there, just going through it, like, okay, let's get through this so I can go back to doing my cool moves, they can tell. So you really have to, it's called selling, because you really have to sell it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a good question, because
you don't see that much anymore.
No, you really don't.
You'll see people take moves that should have killed them, and then they'll bounce
right back up. Yeah, I didn't ask you this before, but what do you prefer, being the face or the heel?
I've really only been a babyface, you know. I mean, when I first started, I would do stuff, but I didn't really know what I was doing in terms of that. But I've only really been the good guy. So there's a match. Actually, I do have one match on YouTube that's really recent, and it's me, David Anthony, versus Murphy Costigan. And it's like 25 minutes maybe. And it was in Knoxville. And it's a pretty good match. You guys can probably check that out sometime. Yeah. I'll show it to you guys later.
I was going to ask you one more question, man.
Go ahead.
Get off here. I was going to ask you, what's your favorite move?
Oh, man, I don't really think of it. Like, I don't know.
You have something that you just feel like is your one thing that you're really good at?
It's just I just like to wrestle. I mean, I don't know. I just like wrestling. So I don't really have like a finishing move.
You said you have a finisher?
No, I don't really have like a finishing move. I mean, yeah. I just go out there and wrestle. I mean, wrestle. Yeah. So
you're the epitome of an old school, like, wrestler to me. You know, you just like to go out there and wrestle. You don't really have, you know, you don't hop the crowd up with a finisher or nothing.
Yeah, like, I'll do something different.
Yeah.
Maybe each time, you know.
That's
like,
cool, man. Man, I really appreciate you being on the show with us.
I had a lot of fun. I liked it.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm glad you drove in. I know you had the show last night. Madison.
We didn't get to talk about that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
The Heritage. No, we didn't talk about him being in BCW for the Heritage.
Yeah. Yeah, then I guess, is it next weekend?
No.
Or 2 weekends?
Two weekends from now.
Yeah, because the next weekend's the 13th, 14th.
He's, I think it's March 21st down at Paintsville Rec Center. He's going to be, I think he wrestled Ross Bray.
Yeah, yeah.
In the first round of the Heritage.
So I'll have to start, like, studying up on him.
Yeah.
Yep. So, ready for your match.
Yeah.
Coming week. So, yeah, I guess we might be seeing you again in 2 weeks. Then.
Yeah, if you guys come on up, then I might be towards the, I mean.
Like I said, I appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Yeah.
Driving in.
I had a lot of fun. I liked being here a lot, guys. You guys treated me really good. Yeah, so, I appreciate that.
I like it.
Yeah.
Try to get you on again sometime, too.
For sure.
If you're up this way. I know we tried to work this out when you were up around this area.
Yeah, it worked out really well.
Yeah.
Like I said, you got a really good brain for the business. I like taking it because I've learned a lot myself.
Yeah, yeah, just sitting here. All I ask is wherever when you get to wherever you're going, give us a free ticket. If you're going to Mania, give us a free ticket, dude.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming on the show.
I had a outstanding time with you guys.
If you want to say anything to anybody out there, go ahead.
So go ahead and follow my Instagram. It's AnthonyDavid19. Facebook, at David Anthony Wrestling, Twitter, Anthony David 19 also. It's Anthony _ David 19, my bad. Just follow me on those. Also, like I said, check out Wrestle Rewind. It's a lot of really good wrestling on there, old school stuff that WWE doesn't even have. So get on Wrestle Rewind. World Fighting Showcase, check that out. ASW, and anywhere that you want to find me on my Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, I post where I'm going to be. So if you want to come out to an event and see me, just check out my social media and try to catch me.
I'm going to go ahead and thank our sponsor one more time, McGuire's Insurance Agency. Give them a call at 606-886-0008 for all your insurance needs. I'm going to give it over to Jason, see if he wants to say anything.
I'd just like to thank everybody for tuning in this week. We were glad David was able to come on. I'd like to thank our other two sponsors, High Tech Signs and Graphics and Rick's Embroidery Trophy. Without them, we wouldn't have the stuff we do. We also have, like I said, we got our t-shirts for sale. They're $15. I've got PayPal actually set up now, so if anybody wants to buy one, you can just let us know and get that situated. Other than that, like to thank David for coming on.
Man.
We've been talking about this for about a month or so now, I believe.
Yeah,
we've been messaging back and forth, so we was glad to.
I've been pumped up about it.
Everything kind of lined out, and we got him on here.
I beat everybody here.
Yeah, he did. He beat us all here.
I was everybody, yeah.
So, but I guess it shows he was really excited. He beat us all here. But other than that, I would thank producer Kevin.
Of course.
Always. Like I always say, without him, we wouldn't be here. He's got it all, the cameras, the mics, the lights, the stand that hangs our banner up. He is the moving show. If he's not here, we don't have a show.
Check out his other podcast, too. Yep. I mean, he's got the Extra Nerdy Gentleman, if I said that right, hopefully. You got Amen with the Amen, Alex Garner and Alex Gearhart.
And we got the Scouting Report.
Gearhart. Adam. Yeah, I said Alex. My bad.
And got Scouting Report, too.
Scouting Report.
So it's a busy man over here.
Yeah.
Producer Kevin.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of podcasts right now.
Just go on, I guess, Hat Media Services on Facebook, and you'll find all those podcasts. So, we didn't get to do our triple throwdown this week. But I just want to encourage everybody to go out there and watch some independent wrestling. Yeah. Check, David said he had that match on Facebook. Who was it against, David?
My match.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube. It's
YouTube.
It's it's me, David Anthony versus Murphy Costigan, and it's like the 30-minute video.
So everybody go watch that.
20-30 minutes
next week.
And then there was also the Tyler Bate and Walter. If you have not seen that,
go watch the Tyler Bate and Walter match. So we let David pick this week.
Yeah.
So with that, guys, you've been booked, and we're out.
You've been listening to the Strong Booking Podcast. Your hosts are Jason Hughes, Jason White, and Dustin Ducky Campbell. Your producer is Kevin Horn. This has been a production of Hat Media Services.